Isaiah 43 is a reading for Passover. And as you know, the Passover is coming upon us. Isaiah 43 is read just prior to the celebration of the Passover, and it has been for 3,500 years or some such thing. And it's a declaration not to be surprised at what's going to happen to you, that all your little value systems are going to go boom, and all your little idolatry is going to fall on its face, and the plagues are going to come upon you just like they did upon the nation of Israel. So Isaiah 43 is read to prepare you for such an activity. And the reason is so that you will not think it strange when they're suffering, when there's something bad that's coming upon you. And you find out in Isaiah 43 that the reason suffering happens in you is so that there will be no strange God within you. So you will no longer worship these silly little gods that you've been playing with all your life. Promises come when there's no strange God within you. Now, let's again just put this in the context of what's happening in the world with us, is that the reason I'm so upset at with Tilton and their ilk is because they trivialize suffering. And that's a huge thing when you consider how much suffering there is in the world. He and others like him have the audacity to say that the reason you suffer is because there's hidden sin in your life or some other religious bullshit.
Or you have not enough faith.
Yeah.
You got enough money.
And so what happens is that it's not just a little bit different from what the truth is, it's exactly opposite. And it doesn't matter if it's in whose name he's speaking. He is speaking the opposite of who we are, because he's trivialized the suffering that each one of you experienced. And he's saying, and he's making God this heavenly errand boy. And he's making God boring to any thinking person. That's what really is going to... But when you understand that the reason that you've suffered the things you do, the reason that you feel and hurt and cry, and is so that that's the thing that breaks down the strange gods, the strange idols that are within you, then you can begin to be in this mysterious place when you can glory in tribulation.
A crucible.
So, again, knowing that the pre-Passover season is one of a concentration or a high-energy time of plagues coming on you to prepare you for the Passover, and the Passover is to cause you to want to get out of the world, not to improve it or to change it, to get out of it. And this is the metaphor. We're here in the world, and the plagues are going to come on the world, and the plagues are going to come to show Israel. They have nothing to do with Pharaoh or Egypt or the world. They show Israel the vanity of the gods that they've adopted while they've been in the world. And this is all of us. All of us were born here in the world. We struggled to get to the best part of the world, the land of Goshen. And the plagues come and hit you. And when the plagues are there, it gives you the opportunity to run from the world and cross the Red Sea in baptism and wander in the wilderness until you're shed of the grave clothes of religion and the world. And then you finally can enter the promise and sit on the mercy seat 24 hours a day. The thing that's so awesome is Revelation says that all things were created for the pleasure of God, and that God receives pleasure from all things in the universe. And that means that you too have the potential to be in a state of pleasure all the time. But no matter what it is, no matter what happens, That happens when there's no more strange gods within you. So let's look and see Isaiah 43. But now thus saith the Lord that created thee, O Jacob, and he that formed thee, O Israel, fear not. Now what does that have to do with you, Jacob and Israel? Everything in this Bible is a metaphor and a type, and Jacob is the flesh, and Israel is the spirit. Israel is called out of Jacob. And so in this category, you are Jacob, and that which is your true life, the spirit within you, is Israel. And he's talking here to both of you, to both aspects of you, the spirit and the flesh. And he's saying, thus saith the Lord that created thee, O Jacob, and that formed thee, O Israel, fear not, for I have redeemed thee. I have called thee by thy name, thou art mine. Now watch, we're going to go through this whole process here. When thou passest through the waters, I will be with thee, and through the rivers, they shall not overflow thee. The thing that automatically happens to you and to all men is that when anything negative happens to you, you think you have to correct it. Especially in a relationship. And the only reason the negative thing is happening to you isn't so that you'll try to use all kinds of sorcery and enchantments to correct it. It's so that the strange God that is within thee will be destroyed. So you don't have to correct anything. You don't have to run around and try to psychobabble it to death and get it right and go read the right book and hold your mouth right and read the right attitude and say you should be this way and you should be that way. It's not strange that you're experiencing it. Fear not, when thou passest through the waters. Again, the water in baptism is the water of judgment. When you pass through the waters, I'll be with thee. And the rivers, they shall not overflow thee. When thou walkest through the fire, thou shalt not be burned, neither shall the flame kindle upon thee. For I am the Lord thy God, the Holy One of Israel, thy Savior. I gave Egypt for thy ransom. Egypt is the world. Ethiopia and Seba for thee. Since thou wast precious in my sight, thou hast been honorable, and I have loved thee. Therefore will I give men for thee and people for thy life. Fear not, for I am with thee. I will bring thy seed from the east and gather thee from the west. I will say to the north, give up, and to the south, keep not back. And again, that's what he's saying to the four winds, to the four directions, to the four cardinal compass points. He's saying, come, and this is all. He's celebrating. He's saying, come to the Passover from all the points of the compass. Not to try to get corrected when something negative happens to you. The reason the negative thing is happening is to cause you to leave it behind, not so you can fix it. Is that clear?
It was me.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yes.
But that's what you try to do. You have a problem in the relationship and you try to fix it. The reason you have the problem in the relationship is because the relationship at that point has been based on idolatry. It's not supposed to be fixed. It's supposed to be left behind so a new thing can take place. And the more you spend time to try to fix it, the more you'll be locked in the lower spheres of life and never understand a damn thing. It's not supposed to ever try to be fixed, it's supposed to be left behind. It's true in every aspect of your life, whether it's with business or relationships or health or anything. You're not supposed to try to fix it, you're supposed to leave it behind. The idea of what happens between Tilton and us is so totally, it couldn't be a clearer picture of the opposites. Tilton says, fix it. Here's how you fix it. Here's how you make it good. Here's how you fix it. Make your little space in the world successful.
last week I was with my mother and my other brother, and it's not just Chilton. I mean, the Baptists are the worst, some of the worst. My mother said, my brother's down, he beat his truck up. She said, well, I thought with the Bible and being down there and studying that he'd be able to correct all those things by now, that he'd be able to improve and that things would be different. I said, well, Mom. And it was just amazing how much pressure she put on, and my brother too, on me to try to get him to study the Word more and use the Bible as a handbook to get
him. He was truck.
He'll get his truck.
Some people beat their wives like you. He beats his truck.
I went through this big time Friday morning. You probably don't remember. You chewed my ass clean off.
Friday morning,
on the street out there, across the street. I mean, really, you just chewed my ass off.
Appropriately so.
But a man about 15 minutes later, I just froze because it was big time, and it was either I'm going to leave this thing, I'm going to let this go and move on, or I got to go pack my bags and leave right now, no even talking to anybody. It was that big, that fast. And thank God it was just let go of it and move on. And 10 minutes later, we were laughing and joking around here, and it was fine. But it was World War IV immediately, almost immediately. Thank God.
But we never, as a believer, you never protect anything. And you know that if something that you perceive as negative is taking place in you, that's the signal to walk, to move, to come out of that way of thinking. You know, again, not to come out of relationships. Relationships are the parable forever. But to come out of whatever it is that was the basis of the relationship to a new thing. The reason that, and whether it's Baptists or the Tiltonites or the Tilton, what do you call them, Tiltoneers or Tiltoneers or whatever it is.
Tiltonians.
Or the reason that they don't, you know, again, we have, ABC has this really high level mole in Tilton's organization. We have kind of a low level one.
That makes sense.
Yeah. But it's this thing of what they're doing now is they are battering down, they're putting up the defenses, they're searching the employees, searching the females' handbags and the briefcases and pack searching to find hidden cameras. It's all been that couch's fault. But the point is, what their response to it is to protect, to build walls of protection. And that's what normally people's response is if you have a discussion or an argument. The response, spiritual response, is that's just simply God saying to move on, to let it go, to come to a different level of life. Don't protect anything. You know, you must know by now, the more you protect, the more you damage, the moment you're in your mind, you begin the process of, and all of you do it, all of us do it, we try to protect. And the moment we protect, we pollute. It's just, we need to come out of it. Just let it go, let all that crap go behind you. Fear not, for I'm with thee. And that's what we do. We fear. We fear that we're forsaken, so we don't let go. We have to protect. We have to gather. I will bring thee thy seed from the east and gather thee from the west. I will say to the north, give up, and to the south, keep not back. Bring my sons from far and my daughters from the ends of the earth. Even everyone that is called by my name. That's not, to be called by his name doesn't mean you put the name of Jesus in your idolatry. To be called by his name means you're willing at this instant to empty yourself of everything. And go where he wills, go where the wind blows. I have created him for my glory. I have formed him, yea, I have made him. Who? Christ in you, the hope of glory, the seed, the zeroa that he's calling, is that life within you that's already perfect. Just waiting for the vessel to be broken so that it can be revealed. Every other form of thought I'm aware of on the face of the earth says whenever you have a problem, they have a way of correcting it. A how-to manual. Every time you do it, every time you correct it, you're putting untempered mortar on the wall. Not correctable. Is that kind of getting to you? You starting to understand that? You can't be fixed. So abandon it. You drive yourselves crazy trying to fix it. All of it is to get fixed. To fix the problem. Now, as a practical matter, most of us would like to believe that God is like the God of Tilton. At the core level, you want God to be your errand boy. Except, you know, and you know what? I mean, if I were going to create God.
You're at the surface level.
Huh?
Heck with the core.
Now, for some of us, like Harry, you don't have to go very deep to find the greed. I mean, it's just right out there.
Another glass of wine.
Sure.
Shallow waters run shallow. But isn't it true? I mean, you'd want, but then there's something else within you that says, wait a minute, I know that I would mess it up. So I know there has to be something better going on. Fortunately, there is. Alright. I went around this one in the morning Bible study. Lee visited the morning Bible study once.
God, what a mistake. Months they stay away.
And so anyways, there's one table over there that I'm telling that we're going through the table of what their response to shame is. And so, you know, Harry has a response. He was one of
you
the people
right
at the table.
Harry.
Right. Harry's response to shame was he has to run out in the middle of the floor and say, hi, guys, I'm here, too. I'm important. Look at me, guys. So, I mean, you can see this little fat little kid running out in the middle of the room. He's about 4 years old, and he's doing some kind of a dance. And it's still Harry. He's still doing it. He's got gray hair, lost his hair. But he's out there, this four little old kid, year old kid, is out there dancing and saying, look at me, guys, I'm here, too. Yeah, we see that's the great thing about big churches, right?
You can hide,
huh?
You can hide real good.
Yeah. I mean, you got this. You're gonna sit there. Yep. Where's? You're gonna sit there in a row, and you never look at anybody except the back of. I could stand looking at the back of Harry's head for a while.
Blinded.
But you never have to know anybody. You don't have to, you know, and the pastor always says kind of neat, uplifting things. Positive confessions kind of stuff.
There's a little bit of a cry in his voice.
Yeah. I just want to be the best wife I can be for God. I just want to be a woman of God.
The church bitch.
Maria Stella, I'll never forget.
Ilsa, the she-wolf.
Yeah, I know. The SS she-wolf is now, yeah. She's been transformed from the...
I just want to be.
And you see, the funny thing about it is, I never remember saying that.
Everybody else remembers. Shall we take a vote?
Which time?
No, but again, the funny thing is that the first night you visited here, Tyra says to me, I cannot wait for that shell to break. He or she's going to, all hell's going to break loose.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But can we understand that we would like also to trivialize suffering? We would like to have God as our errand boy. We would like to win the lottery.
Here.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's stupid. Think about it. What? I mean, this is craziness. How many of you are? Never mind. I'm not going to think of that. Even everyone that is called by name. By my name, for I have created him for my glory. I have formed him, yea, I have made him. Bring forth the blind people and have eyes. And bring forth the blind people that have eyes and the deaf that have ears. Let all the nations be gathered together and let the people be assembled. Who among them can declare this and show us former things? Let them bring forth their witnesses, that they may be justified, or let them hear and say, it is truth. Now, in other places in Isaiah, it says, bring forth, produce your strong cause for your continued self-realization. Here he says, show us your witnesses. Show us one place where your belief system is justified. There isn't. You are my witnesses, saith the Lord, and my servant whom I have chosen, that you may know and believe me and understand that I am he. Before me there was no God formed, and neither shall there be after me. Now keep there and go over to Isaiah 45. There's no other God. Thus saith the Lord to his anointed, to Cyrus, whose right hand I have holden to subdue nations before him.
What verse?
Isaiah 45, verse 1. I will loose the loins of kings to open before him the two leavened gates, and the gates shall not be shut. I will go before thee and make the crooked places straight. I will break in pieces the gates of brass, and cut in sunder the bars of iron, and I will give thee the treasures of darkness. This isn't $10,000 vows or something. The treasures of darkness are the mysteries of the universe. And the secrets, I'll give thee the treasures of darkness and the hidden riches of secret places, that thou mayest know that I, the Lord, which call thee by thy name, am the God of Israel. For Jacob my servant's sake and Israel mine elect, I have even called thee by thy name. I have surnamed thee, though thou hast not known me. Can you imagine the effrontery of a human being saying that he has chosen God? Can you imagine what God's going to do to somebody that runs around and says, praise God, I've chosen you as my personal Savior? God's going to smack him. Think of the effrontery of... I mean, it's just unbelievable.
What a good deal for God.
Yeah, great.
Thanks.
You know, it's like you going up to Van Cliburn and say, oh, your music is just wonderful. That's the greatest stupid judgmental praise. You and you're elevating yourself above God by saying that you have the capacity to choose him. Or you are a critic of Van Cliburn saying, oh, your music is great. The response of any thinking person to the Father, to God, is say, I'm not worthy, but I pray that you accept me somehow. The response of an artist is to say, your music has brought me great pleasure, but to say that he is a great musician, it elevates you and makes you his critic. Do you see the sorcery of words, all keyed to elevate you? And you do it to God. I have called thee, though thou hast not known me. You understand? The God that's I wouldn't have anything to do with that God. That's any God that I would have, any God that would let me choose him, I don't want anything to do with. You understand that?
The jump God.
I mean, just think about it. Can you imagine a bigger effrontery? It's like the idea, you know, we've said this often, it's becoming a cliche here, but anytime you hear of a man speak of his love for God, it's a sure sign he expects to be paid for it. I'm just thankful that the God that we have dealings with is the one that's left when everything else I can think about is gone. For Jacob my servant's sake, and Israel mine elect, I have even called thee by thy name. I have surnamed thee, though thou hast not known me. I am the Lord, there is none else. There is no God beside me. I girded thee, though thou hast not known me, that they may know from the rising of the sun and from the west that there is none beside me. I am the Lord, and there is none else. I form the light and create darkness. I make peace and create evil. I, the Lord, do all these things. Create an impotent God who is at battle with Satan? Can you imagine a dumber thing?
Amen.
Satan is just the opposer. That's what the word Satan means in the Hebrew. Ha, Satan, the Satan. It just means the opposer. He's the one, he's the acid that God has poured on you to cause the revelation to come forth. Anything that Satan can destroy isn't worth having in the first place. But to think that God is in a battle with Satan, that good and evil somehow are in a battle, is stupidity beyond stupidity.
Yeah, it's really just to elevate the fall.
Of course. And that's what, I mean, here, that's why I'm afraid of these guys. The Attorney General told me this afternoon that that Tilton is bringing 20 busloads of people from his church down there to do battle with Satan. Well, guess who they think Satan is, folks?
Dan Morales. Saint Bubba.
Dana Carter.
They may have stones.
Right.
20 busloads. I pour my light and create darkness. I make peace and create evil. I, the Lord, do all these things. What am I going to be afraid of? Those idiots down there, they're spiritually jacking off all over the place. That's what they're doing.
Bring a big towel.
There is no Savior. Now, you understand? I mean, the exclusiveness of do you understand the rarest thing in the universe is for a person to believe there's only one God? If you believe there's two gods, i.e., there's a God of evil and the God of good, there's Satan and God, that's then by definition, In a spiritual context, two cannot last. Two has to immediately denigrate to three, to four, to five. It's like if you believe in two gods, or good and evil, then by definition you're a polytheist. What you will do is you will place the name of God on everything. You'll start thinking it'll be automatic. First of all, you'll have God, country, then you'll have family, then you'll have career, then you'll have, Dallas Cowboys, and then you'll have, it'll just go boom, 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 boom. the moment you believe that there is this battle. Now, that's the funny thing about these idiots. Go talk to them about what they think is important. I am the Lord, and beside me there is no Savior. I have now remember, this is pre-Passover reading. It's what the plagues are doing. I have declared and have saved, and I have showed when there was no strange God among you. That's why it's so vital that you understand God's not going to reveal his mysteries to you as long as you're worshiping other idolatry, other gods. He will only reveal himself when you've come to the end of all of them. That's why the only thing we can do is to show forth the vanity of all things. I have declared and have saved, I have showed when there was no strange God among you. That's what happened. That's what the 10 plagues did to Israel while they were in Egypt. It destroyed all the gods. It wasn't to punish anybody, it was to destroy the gods. And which gods of you, what do you give worship, what do you give breath to? What are you giving importance to? Well, that's what you, if you're here, that's what you're putting at risk. You understand that? Therefore, you are my witnesses, saith the Lord, that I am God. Yea, before the day was, I am he, and there is none, there's nothing that can deliver you, deliver out of my hand. I will work, and who shall let, or who shall prevent it? What are you going to do? You're gonna protect yourself, right? So you're going to go buy an Uzi, or a little handgun, yeah. Or you should have in your purse. What are you going to do when an earthquake comes? Tell me about a handgun versus an earthquake. Oh, I know what we'll do.
Yell at the hurricane.
We will protect, we will do this and that. Well, what are you going to do when a hurricane comes? Thus saith the Lord, your Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel, for your sake I have sent to Babylon and have brought down all their nobles and the Chaldeans whose cries in the ships. The Babylonians are what? The Babylonians are the false religion. Trust me in this one, folks. The reason this is taking place right now with regard to all of the press and all of the crap with Tilton is to prepare us for Passover. That's its only purpose. Nobody cares about it. In the economy of God, Tilton isn't even a footnote of history. But it's to prepare us for Passover so that we, by taking on that idiot, can reveal the strange gods that we have within ourselves that he has adopted and he's preaching. You understand that? He is less than nothing in the economy of God, except as an instrument to reveal our idolatry. I am the Lord, your Holy One, the Creator of Israel, your King. Thus saith the Lord, which maketh a way in the sea and a path in the mighty waters, which bringeth forth the chariot and the horse, the army and the power. And remember what happened.
Yeah.
To the chariot and the horse, they chased Israel. And they are all totally wiped out with no effort. All Israel did was stand still and see the salvation of God. They shall lie down together. They shall not rise. They are extinct. They are quenched as tow.
What's tow?
Candlewick.
What is it? It's a whistle.
When you watch a candle burn, for a while, the candle is... The tow is important because it's the portion of the wick that burns. But pretty soon it's gone. That's a great Scrabble word. Mm-hmm. Oh. Thus saith the Lord, which maketh a way in the sea and a path in the mighty waters. Again, that's the everything in you, when you're confronted with a problem, says, do something. Save yourself. Figure out a plan. Figure out this. Figure out that. And God is saying to you, 24 hours a day, stand still. stop. And this is the great example. He's put 1,000 obstacles in your path, 100,000 all your life, hoping that you'd stop and inquire and see that your efforts are worthless. And each time you determinedly rose above, made it through by strength of will. But it's all crap.
Not sure.
He wants you to stand still and see the salvation of God. Which bringeth forth the chariot and the horse, the army and the power. They shall lie down together. They shall not rise up. They are extinct. They are quenched as tow. Remember you not the former things, neither consider the things. Well, what things? The things that you rested on, the things that you counted on, your defense mechanisms, your weapons, your stratagems. Remember, the context of this is in this situation in which you're confronted with something that you think is terrible. And he's saying, but we forget all of them. The reason you forget them, why? It's because they've all proven to be false in the past. They've all proven to be ineffective weapons. All of your sorceries, all of your enchantments, all of your whatever it is, they've all proven to be valueless. Don't try to resurrect them. Don't try to improve them. Don't try to polish them. Don't remember even those things. Don't consider the things of old. Behold, I will do a new thing. Now it shall spring forth. Shall you not know it? I will make a way in the wilderness. Again, you got to recognize there's no way. You got to go from the world to the promise. You have to go through the wilderness. The wilderness is a place, by definition, spiritually, where there are no options. That's what a wilderness is. And you hate it. You hate it when you have no options. The beast of the field shall honor me. The dragons and the owls, and this is what all through here, this is, again, it's, you can't just pull out one of these scriptures and say, and make a theology about it. The beasts of the field shall honor me. The dragons and the owls are two words that in the Hebrew are the names of demons, chief demons. The beast of the field shall honor me. The dragons and the owls shall honor him. Why? Because they cannot do anything to harm you. They are all working for his purpose. Because I give waters in the wilderness and rivers in the desert to give drink to my people, my chosen. This people have I formed for myself. They shall show forth my praises. But thou hast not called upon me, O Jacob. But thou hast been weary of me, O Israel. We've called on everybody else. We've called on everything else. Thou hast not brought me the small cattle of thy burnt offerings, neither hast thou honored me with thy sacrifice. I have not caused thee to serve with an offering, nor wearied thee with incense. Thou hast brought me no sweet cane with money, neither hast thou filled me with the fat of thy sacrifices. But thou hast made me to serve with thy sins. In other words, do you understand what he's saying? You have put the name of God in your iniquity. Thou hast wearied me with thine iniquities. I am he that blotteth out thy transgression for mine own sake and will not remember thy sins. Put me in remembrance. Let us plead together. Declare thou that thou mayest be justified. Thy first father hath sinned. Thy teachers have transgressed against me. Therefore I have profaned the princes of the sanctuary and given Jacob to the curse and Israel to the reproaches. Thy first father has sinned. Let him go. Call no man on earth father. Call no woman on earth mother. The father is in heaven. The mother is the body. Isaiah 10. When we do a Passover skit, that it has to do with the 13th tribe. There's a little known 13th tribe of Israel, and they got left behind in the world in Egypt, and they really got pissed. But there may very well have been a whole lot of people that they got left behind. Because they just did not, they couldn't bear the thought of going without knowing. They considered, they liked the familiar, even though it was miserable, better than the idea of going without knowing. Now that's where some of you are really at risk. You need to see that God isn't asking you to go do something different. He's just asking you to be willing. You understand that? That's a big difference. My people are willing in the day of my power. Okay, starting in Isaiah 10. Now remember, these scriptures were read at this season ever since 1,500 years before Christ. Isaiah 10, verse 32. We go from Isaiah 10:32 to Isaiah 12:6. Let's do the Nourish. Okay. Read Isaiah. It's from Isaiah 10:32. Read for a while.
As yet shall he remain at Nob that day. He shall shake his hand against the mount of the daughter of Zion, the hill of Jerusalem. Behold, the Lord, the
okay,
Lord.
Okay. Do y'all know what Nob is? Why didn't anybody ask that? I mean, you just...
We were just listening.
Huh? You know what? Why don't you give us a dissertation on what Nob is?
Doesn't it rhyme with something? Like, isn't there like a blah of blah?
No.
Is that
you're thinking
like
Nob.
Cool.
Nob is a place in Egypt. Just leave it at that.
Behold, the Lord of hosts, shall loft the bough of terror, and the high ones of stature shall be hewn down, and the haughty shall be humbled.
Okay, now that's the process that takes place at Passover. The trees are shaken, so the high leaves fall off. The high ones fall down.
It's talking about trees?
Well, it's talking about us. It's talking about the tree is just a metaphor for you and the land. Okay?
And he shall cut down the thickets of the forest with iron, and Lebanon shall fall by a mighty one. And there shall come forth a rod out of the stem of Jesse, and a branch shall grow out of his roots. And the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and mind, the Spirit of knowledge and of the fear of the Lord, and shall make him of quick understanding in the fear of the Lord.
Who's that talking about? Christ. It's Christ in you that is in this place. Automatically, once you abandon yourself. Okay.
And he shall not judge after the sight of his eyes, neither reprove after the hearing of his ears.
Okay. Why? Let's celebrate. Let's think about Mardi Gras a minute. Mardi Gras, the word Mardi Gras is Fat Tuesday. And it comes the day before Ash Wednesday, when from time immemorial, the believer Christians have celebrated Lent, which was the preparation for, really, Passover. But prior to the days leading up to Ash Wednesday, or Mardi Gras, are called Carnival, which means, in the Latin, or Romance languages, Festival of the Flesh. And it's the giving over to everything of the flesh, not just sexual stuff, but the giving over to judging only after the senses. Until you get fat on the Tuesday, and then when you're fed up with everything that you've experienced, then you can celebrate Passover. Now what we're about to do when we take the bread and the wine up in the big group in a minute, you have to be fed up with everything before you take the bread. That's what you'll see during the Passover. It's not that you take the bread and the wine to get more spiritual. It's the sustenance after you're fed up with everything else. You know, that's why, you know, we've said around here for a long time, the cliche that in order to be a saint, you first have to be a cynic. And Brad is more than halfway there.
I just want to see somebody who can get me fed up. I mean, I'm looking forward to going upstairs. You got to row the hoe.
But you're fed up with everything already. Otherwise, you wouldn't be so cynical.
Does that work for me?
Yeah.
Video.
That really took a lot of discernment to get that one. I mean, it really took spiritual discernment and wisdom to really get that one. All right.
But with righteousness shall he judge the poor and reprove with equity for the meek of the earth. And he shall smite the earth with the rod of his mouth, and with the breath of his lips shall he slay the wicked. And righteousness shall be the girdle of his loins, and faithfulness the girdle of his reins. The wolf also shall dwell with the lamb, and the leopard shall lie down with the kid.
But neither, the kid shall not get much sleep.
Jeez. What do those represent? Ooh. Those four things.
You.
Those four animals.
If the idea, here, listen to what this next, let's read. Wolf shall dwell with the lamb, leopard lie down with the kid, the calf and the young lion, and the fatling together, a little child shall lead them. The cow and the bear shall feed at the same place, their young one shall lie down together, the lion shall eat straw like the ox. Now what does that mean? Huh? Well,
Barbara's in charge of the menu.
The idea of it is that, and again, what we remember, probably no one here remembers this, but you remember when we studied the original meaning of the signs of the zodiac? Mm-hmm. And each one of these represented an aspect of the coda, the deca of the sign. And what it says is that all of the signs of the zodiac have been completed. They've all met their purpose. They've all finished the course. And again, what this is another way of saying that it's finished. But it's using the metaphor of the signs of the zodiac.
I don't remember a wolf.
Well, there is one in the deca. One of the.
It's a minor.
But that's the metaphor of all this, is that it's finished. And when you know it's finished, then the little child shall lead you. Understand? Okay.
And the suffering child shall play on the hole of the ass, and the weaned child shall put his hand on the cockatrice den.
Yeah. Now this is when, and this is a revelation of you shall drink poison, and snakes won't bite you. You're not going to go out, we're not going to go start snake handling here. But the idea is that you don't have to be afraid of the same things that the Gentiles are afraid of. You know, you don't have to fear those things anymore. You don't have to try to protect yourself any longer. That's what the message of all of this flowery language is, because it's finished. You don't have to protect yourself any longer. All right.
They shall not hurt nor destroy in all my holy mountain. For the earth shall be full of the knowledge of the Lord, as the waters cover the sea. And in that day there shall
Now this
be
is this is you've got to see now for us this has already happened. This is today. This isn't something we're waiting for. This happened at the cross.
And in that day there shall be a root of Jesse, which shall stand for an ensign of the people. To it shall the Gentiles seek, and his rest shall be glorious.
And in that day was the day of the cross, shall there be a root of Jesse, the root of Jesse. Remember, Jesse was the father of David. David was the type of Christ. So the root of Jesse, he shall stand for an ensign or a sign of the people, and to him or to it or to that sign the Gentiles shall seek. Now, it doesn't matter what they're seeking. You understand? They're all seeking the same thing, this sign, the coma in the remember the coda, I mean in the constellation of Virgo, the desire of the nations. It's whatever, he is the fulfillment of the desire of the nations. He's not some option that you can decide you're going to pick or choose.
And it shall come to pass in that day that the Lord shall set his hand again the second time to recover the remnant of his people, which shall be left from Assyria, and from Egypt, and from Paphos, and from Cush, and from Elam, and from Shinar, and from Hamath, and from the islands of the sea. And he shall set up an ensign for the nations, and shall assemble the outcasts of Israel, and gather together the dispersed of Judah from the four corners of the earth.
Okay, the outcasts are the only ones that are ever desired. I mean, that are the only ones that are ever gathered. If you have an investment in the earth at any given time in history, then you're never, you can't be gathered. It's only the outcast that ever and always has been.
The envy also of Ephraim shall depart.
Now, wait a minute. I want to show you that more clearly, quickly. Let's go to 1 Corinthians 4. It's in the New Testament. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. 1 Corinthians chapter 4. One of the things we're doing in the morning studies is to see what faith looks like. What does it look like when you're a believer? 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 7. For who maketh thee to differ from another, and what hast thou that thou didst not receive? Now if thou did receive it, why dost thou glory as if thou had not received it? And the implication is had done it by your own strength. Now you are full, now you are rich. You have reigned as kings with others, and I would to God that you did reign. This is Paul speaking to the brethren at the church in a house that met in Corinth, or in Corinthians, just like this. We would to God that you did reign, that we also might reign with you. For I think that God, and this is what it looks like, and this is what the answer is to that question we looked at a minute ago. What does it look like? I think that God has set forth us, the apostles, last, as it were, appointed to death. You're an absolute fool if you're interested in any of this stuff. If any of this seems interesting to you, you're really silly. You're really a fool. That's what evangelism was in the first century. You damn fool, what are you hanging around for? Don't you know you're gonna share it all, the weirdness and the, you know, what do you want to be part of this for? Shunned it, and I came back second time. He said, okay. You fool, don't you know that you're going to be considered crazy? They're going to call you demon-possessed? They're going to call you Satan himself? He said, I know, but I want to be here anyway. So I'm hanging around for a while. The rabbi, third time, says, you fool, what do you want to be here for? Don't you know they're going to kill you and think they're doing God holy service? And if they said yes that time, then they were accepted. It's never, come to God and look at what you're going to get. It's always, come to God and look at what it's going to cost you.
And the same with Ruth, you know, going back to her mother-in-law, saying, no, you don't want to be here.
That's right.
And she kept going back. Who is it?
For I think that God has set forth us the apostles last, as it were, appointed to death. For we are made a spectacle unto the world, and to angels, and to men. We are fools for Christ's sake, but you are wise in Christ. We are weak, but you are strong. You are honorable, but we are despised. Even unto this present hour, we both hunger and thirst, and are naked, and are buffeted, and have no certain dwelling place, and labor, working with our own hands, being reviled, we bless, being persecuted, we suffer it, being defamed, we entreat. We are made as the filth of the world, and the offscouring of all things unto this day. That's what it looks like to be a believer, guys. I write not these things to shame you, but as my beloved children, I warn you, for though you have 10,000 instructors in Christ, yet have you not many fathers. For in Christ Jesus I have begotten you through the gospel. Wherefore I beseech you, be ye followers of me.
That's the sign that the Gentiles seek to. Verse back in Isaiah 10. But it's time to go to the big group. Everybody, take a big guy. Everybody understand perfectly?